You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Wisconsin's Joint Finance Committee made sweeping changes to the state's public records law. We'll talk with our reporter on the scene and a political observer. First, today on Central Time, we launch a new summer music series called Setlist. We invite Wisconsin artists into the WPR studios for interviews and exclusive musical performances. We'll air them every Friday at this time until Labor Day weekend, the unofficial end of summer. From Americana to hip-hop, we're going to hear a diverse range of original music made by Wisconsin artists. We kick off Setlist with a wife and husband group who, until very recently, called Madison their home. Born in the foothills of the Great Smoky Mountains, Count This Penny are the singer-songwriter duo of Amanda and Alan Rigel. In 2010, they made their way to Madison and have toured the country and released several albums. They recently sat down with Veronica Rickert in the WPR studios to play some new unreleased songs, tell us about playing in a band with your spouse, and let us in on what it's like to jam with Garrison Keillor on a prairie home companion.
All right, Amanda and Alan, thank you so much for playing in the studio today.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Of course.
This is really fun.
Well, let's start with sort of your band origin story. How did you guys first start doing music together?
Well, we found ourselves watching a lot of cable television under the guise of doing other things like, oh, I'm grading these papers, or oh, I'm studying for this test, and or like, oh, I'm doing sit-ups. But none of those things were happening?
Sit-ups?
I don't know. I told myself many lies about why it was okay to watch so much television.
Oh, sure. Right.
And then we thought, we can't do this anymore. We're going crazy. We're like actively losing intelligence. And so we canceled our cable, and then we thought, what will we do now? And we started playing music together. It's like the least romantic origin story of all time. We canceled our cable and we needed something to do.
We were just bored. What's that wooden thing on the shelf over
just
there?
Just an all-American band.
So the moral of the story, if you cancel your cable, you'll become a band.
Yeah.
I do believe so. Amazing things can happen if you cancel your cable.
Were you two husband and wife at that point, or were you just, I don't know, friends? Or
I think we were husband and wife at that point.
So Amanda and I have known each other for a long time. We grew up in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and met each other in band, playing
high school band, yes,
playing trumpet together. And I remember watching Amanda sing in an open mic or something along those lines, even back then. So I knew that she was pretty musically talented even going back then. So it wasn't as if we just all of a sudden decided to learn what a G chord was. But I think when we did cancel the cable, that's when we started singing together, actually.
Yeah, that's
in earnest,
true. Yeah, that's true.
Outside of like singing Ben Harper tunes around a campfire or something.
Yeah, that's interesting, because most husbands and wives who perform together, they come together around music, and that's sort of the thing that brings them together. But you guys were already together, and then music sort of was your plus one later on.
It's true. Music is our plus one. I like that.
Not our dog.
Oh, our dog is our first plus one.
Yeah.
Music is our plus two.
That's our plus two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. Wow, you're such a loyalist.
Well,
she's a great dog, though.
She's probably listening.
I think she might be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. We were already together, and this became sort of like a fun, great thing to do together.
When you pound your chest, leave the rest for me. And when you skin your knees, I will drag you to your feet. 'Cause I believe in your heart, and I can fall asleep in your arms.
So you said you're from Tennessee, and I've read that that really influences your music a lot, about what comes out in it. How would you say that southern musical structure that you had growing up, I guess, influences what you do now?
It's probably, honestly, like 50% influence in the Southeast, just growing up with family members and friends who played music, and also 50% like marketing. You know, we're from the Southeast, and it's nice to come to the Midwest and say that we have these sort of Appalachian roots.
That's true.
I think maybe Midwesterners are naturally drawn to that and we're happy to take advantage of it.
Yeah, we came up with the catchphrase Appalachian Pop.
Which doesn't mean anything.
We made it up, and then one of my cousins was like, you can't say that down here. Just only use that in the Midwest.
Right. So.
So how does the Madison music scene compare to Appalachia or Tennessee?
Well, the Madison music scene is great, and it's really multifaceted. I think the outlets we were accustomed to listening to, like the radio station we really loved in Knoxville, is definitely Americana folk-oriented, and there's a really strong scene in that way. But there's a great sort of punk underground scene there, or there has been historically. Mm-hmm. And I think Madison is very much the same way, and it's kind of how do you plug in. But in both places, I think there's just tons of collaboration and tons of musical friendships and communities that are built on that, which is really, really exciting. It's super cool.
I think we can speak a little bit more honestly to the Madison music scene because we haven't been doing this that long. So we started playing together and playing in front of people outside of playing in front of our dog, mm-hmm. maybe like 6 months before we moved to Madison.
Yeah.
So when we got here, we got to meet all these great musicians and got to learn from them. And so I have a much better understanding of what the Madison music scene is relative to the Knoxville or the Johnson City music scene.
Yeah, we really cut our teeth here.
Yeah, we cut our teeth. And our sad folk teeth.
We have no teeth.
Yeah, no teeth. Yeah.
For better past, only fools fight for better past.
Is it easier, do you think, to play here? Because you don't think... I mean, I think if I were a musician starting up in Knoxville, I would think, wow, there's such history here, such tradition, and just to poke my head up and dare to play might take an act of courage. Whereas in Madison, it's not necessarily a music mecca. Maybe it would feel more okay to just start out here and see what you got.
It may be in theory. I remember we played with this banjo player by the name of John Ray, who moved back to Texas a couple years ago. And when we took John on the road back to the South, he got really nervous. He was thinking that all these great, amazing banjo players were going to show up and judge him. Even in playing in Nashville, you know, he would get sort of amped up before these sad folk shows. And it's not the case. Obviously, there are great musicians down there, but there are fantastic musicians in Madison as well. And I think it was just about sort of having the courage to stand up and play in front of people, because that was sort of the hardest hurdle, I think.
But it was easier to start playing in Madison
because
we were strangers.
Yeah,
I mean, we didn't know anyone, so it was like, well, what do you have to lose? Whereas in Tennessee, it's like, there's my grandmother and your grandmother and your sister and my brother and my sister-in-law and my dad and our little niece and nephew, you know, and like, oh my gosh, we swear in this song. And
it definitely feels more like a recital.
It's somehow more nerve-wracking to have all those people who unconditionally love you is much more nerve-wracking than a room full of, you know, Mickeys where everybody's just like, who are these jokers?
Right.
You know,
the expectations
so it was
are pretty low.
That part was really fun because we sort of intentionally said, when we move up there, let's just be a band and we'll just tell people we have a band. And it was really great. People here are so nice, they believed us. Mm-hmm. You know, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a hangman curve coming down the road. I can feel you pulling from home. And I won't break my bed to hold you back and love you less when I'm alone. Kept your daddy's flesh clean and tucked away. Another winter candle sundown in your veins. You're running out the family line with every bar you claim. The horses come in pairs against the reins. Yeah, the horses come in pairs against the reins.
Well, swinging around to the topics that you cover in your songs, I mean, these are not exactly upbeat, feel-good songs. They're songs about relationships falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
What draws you to that kind of material? I've also read that you like to write about murders and suicides and things like that. So what is
Where
it about
Where are you
that?
Getting this material?
Yeah. How do you know about that? The murder ballad really was supposed to be tongue-in-cheek. But I think the combination of coming here and telling people we're Appalachian and I have this murder ballad, they're like, this is legit. She definitely killed someone in the woods.
You wrote that song because it was like negative 10 to below and you needed to get outside and you were angry at the world.
Yeah,
right?
We had just moved here and it snowed 18 inches and I wrote a murder ballad while Alan was away.
Well, that explains everything.
Yeah. And yeah. That was a fun night around the dinner table.
Yeah, the horses come and bear against their
name. Well, I heard you guys pretty recently got a gig singing on a Prairie Home Companion. What was that like, and how did you land that?
I'm not sure. I honestly wonder if someone at WPR put in a good word for us, because, I mean, we were so floored to be offered that I asked the talent buyer, or whatever he's called, and I said, how did you hear about us? And he's like, oh, well, we have our channels, and your name came up, so... And that's all he would say. He's like a very no-nonsense kind of guy.
We felt like we were playing way above our pay grade.
Yeah, oh, still do. Yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
I remember... looking at the computer, worrying about if we were going to get offered this opening slot at a local venue, like on a Wednesday night or something. And Amanda and I were super excited about the possibility of maybe getting this show, because maybe there would be like 50 or 75 people.
Oh, maybe
something.
There would be like 20 people.
Yeah, maybe there'd be like 20 people. Yeah. You know, we're just like, oh man, this is such a cool opportunity. And then out of the blue, this email... legitimately comes out of right field, and
I thought it was like a joke that someone was playing on us.
Yeah, we definitely had to call around to make sure it wasn't a joke.
Yeah,
and we were still very green, and I bet you can imagine we were incredibly nervous. And you know, I think we probably played the three songs that we played on that show, you know, 17 times in the green room while we were warming up. You know, like all that nervous energy. So we were definitely playing above our pay grade, but it was a fantastic experience. It was really cool.
We did a lot of positive self talk the week before. It was
don't blow it.
Don't blow it.
Just don't blow it.
No, it was really more like, you're the best. You're the best. You can do it. You guys are great. You know, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And did Garrison do the thing where he comes out and sings with you?
Yes. That was the most nerve-wracking. And actually, a friend of ours warned us that that would happen. He said, don't freak out, but Garrison Keillor is definitely going to ask you guys to sing harmony on something that you don't know that well. And we were like, no way. That'll never happen to us. And then it did.
What song did we sing?
We sang Keep on the Sunny Side.
Keep on the Sunny Side. And
I will always... remember that song for the rest of my life as not the most shining moment.
I know. So we started singing in rehearsal, and he said, I'm going to take the high harmony. And then he looked at me and said, you're going to take the low harmony. And remember, I said we were pretty green at that point in time. And then he was like, I can't hear the guy. Sing a little bit louder.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
And then
you
he
know,
would
I
say,
just try to sing
would
the
say,
melody.
I think you're stepping on my note. I think you're stepping on my note.
So, yeah, it was an adventure.
It's all a blur because we were just trembling with nervousness for that whole experience.
No, I can't tell memories from dreams.
That's a good place to leave it, guys. Thank you so much for coming into the studio.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
No, you can't tell me from a dove.
That was singer-songwriter duo Count This Penny talking to Veronica Rickert. You can catch them playing around Wisconsin in August and September. Go to countthispenny.com for a list of tour dates. Setlist Music Series airs on Central Time Fridays at 4:15 from today through early September. For more about Count This Penny and other featured artists, including songs and videos of their full exclusive performances at our WPR studio, head over to wpr.org/setlist. Next Friday, we on Setlist will feature Arrow Flynn, a rock band with Eau Claire roots that brought together friends to help complete their long-awaited and critically acclaimed debut album.